The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel. John testified further, saying, 'I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain on him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, "On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, those of you who are fully awake this morning and fully alert will say, did he do the wrong reading this morning? Because it's very similar to the gospel that we read last Sunday. And so, for most priests, it poses a problem. Do I repeat what I said last Sunday or try to find something different? And there's a little story about a pastor in a church. He decided for sanitary reasons that he would put a hot air hand dryer in the restroom. And about a month later, he had them taken out again. And somebody asked him, "Why did you take the hot air hand dryer out of the restroom?" And he said, "Well, somebody put a note on the hand dryer, which said, 'For a sample of last Sunday's homily, press the button.'" Hot air. I sometimes feel when I'm up here, probably to some of you it sounds like hot air. Yeah. Now, you'll all have heard of Thomas Merton, very famous monk and a very famous man, and had a very interesting career and wrote many books and, fantastic man. And he said, he's quoted as saying, "In order to identify me, to know who I really am, don't ask me questions like where I come from or what I work at, or what I have, or what I do, or what kind of food I like. Rather, ask me what I am living for. What I am living for." Now, if I ask you that question here this morning, what are you living for? It's quite a deep question. For some people, if you really dig deep, it could be a terrifying question. What ask me what I am living for. If you're living for something, I suppose it says, I'm not fully satisfied yet where I am. There's an emptiness in me that's not yet fulfilled. A bit like the universe, I'm evolving. And so it brings up, you know, the real you, and I suppose our false self. And the false self, somebody described that as our compulsions. And that's a good description of the false self, our compulsions. What I am living for. So think about that. I ask you, what are you living for? How would you detect maybe the false self as opposed to the true self? Well, the false self is very dependent. It's very dependent on things like what people think of you, from many people, how you look, where you live, what job you do, and how much money you have. All these things are attached and denote a strong dependency on the false self. So, a further question, how dependent are you on those kind of things? The opinion people have of you, your reputation, how you look, how you speak, all those things. Because ultimately, they don't matter. They all pass. You'll take none of those with you. And so you've got to dig deep till you find the real you, the true self, the person you are in the eyes of God, the person you always were from all eternity, but still you maybe have never yet discovered, you've never yet found. And a lot of people are like that. You look at people, we get examples of it every day. You look at people who are famous, celebrities, people who have made vast fortunes, and then end up taking their own life. And we stop and we say, wonder why he did or why she did that. She had everything. But nothing real. Everything was false. Because all those things are false. They all pass. None of them will survive. And what are you left with? If your life is measured on all those things, you are empty. You're not deep down a happy person because you're all the time dependent. And that's sad. And that is very, very, very sad. So you got to come to terms, and you got to realize that when God created you, and before ever you were born, from all eternity, which is a fascinating thing, God had a plan for you. And only you can fulfill that plan. Nobody else can. So you got to search for God's plan in you. In other words, you got to be open. You got to surrender. A good example of that, I'm always interested. I meet a couple, and maybe they've been married for 10 years or 50 years, And you can see, you know, they're totally different characters. And I often say to them, how did you two of you meet, or where did you meet? And I was to ask somebody that yesterday. And she said, I walked into a room one day. I'd never seen him before. I saw him on the other side of the room. And suddenly I said, he's the one I'm going to marry. Now, how I think, why did she walk into that room? Why was he there at that time? And if you're open to God's plan, you'll see it. That, for her, for him, was planned ever from all eternity. Do you believe that? Can you accept that? And when you see that in your own life. So, to turn the focus onto myself, I had to ask myself, what I am living for? What I am living for? One of the answers I give to that, maybe the main answer is, I'm living that I may become more and more every day the person that God wants me to be. Not like anybody else, just plain old me, and be happy with that. So I want you to ask yourself that question today. I can't answer it for you here. What I am living for. And I want to conclude with a little prayer. Now, this is a beautiful prayer. It's a prayer I pray every morning of my life, including this morning. And it's called the Welcoming Prayer. And it's written by Father Thomas Keating. He died a number of years ago, not very long ago. And if you want to find it, you can look it up on the internet. Father, the Welcoming Prayer, Father Thomas Keating, K-E-A-T-I-N-G, Father Thomas Keating. And before I read it, I want to prepare you for the prayer. And the Welcoming Prayer is a practice of letting go. We all need to let go and surrender to God. That's so important. I think we play with God, but we don't often surrender to God. Of letting go in the ordinary routines of daily life, the ordinary events of daily life, the routine of daily life is the path to holiness. How you live your daily life, that's my path to holiness. Now here's an interesting phrase that never crossed my mind before. The mind deceives, the body never lies. How true is that? Think about that for a moment. The mind deceives. The body never lies. Listen to the wisdom of your body. Hear its truth. For example, if I'm worried about something or any bit of stress, I feel it right down there. Right down there. There are people walking around with backache and all kinds of pains, and a lot of it is caused by stress. The body never lies. The mind deceives. The body never lies. There is never a thought, feeling or emotion that does not have a corresponding body sensation. right or wrong. I think that's very, very true. Now, to get to this beautiful prayer. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me in this life, because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, and approval. I let go of my desire for security. That's a big one. I let go of my desire for security. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and the healing action of His grace within me. That's a beautiful prayer. And it opens you up to really thinking. So I encourage you, pray that every day of your lives. It will change your life. You'll see life in a totally new way. You get it on the internet, The Welcoming Prayer by Father Thomas Keating, Keating.